Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Amen. Are you all good? Woo. I'd like to welcome those that are visiting. Dick and your crew. Dick, speak. Speak. Yeah, you know where he's from, eh? He's from South Africa. I feel sorry for his friends, eh? Another South African. You can't hide these guys, eh? They're all over the planet. I'm sorry about that, eh? It's nice to have you. And then Jonathan and Debbie, it's nice to have you join us and those that I greeted. And wow, what a week. It's emotionally taxing on this pastor this week, eh? I did a memorial service on Tuesday and I had Jerry and Val with me. And then Carl's sudden departure really worked a case on me. And then we celebrated his graduation yesterday and here we are today. I told Val when we were driving, I said, I think I've used all my quota of my words this week, having to speak. But anyway, I haven't got the dregs for you. I have the word for the Lord for you today, so I'm excited about that. Just before I dive in, just to let you know that we're looking towards jumping into and doing a Bible school. And those that are interested, we really would like you just to connect with us. And if you did last week, connect with, through the Connect card or the Connect app, please redo it so we can catch you and just let us know if you're interested so we can then get material to you and let you know. So we're going to look at starting that in the fall, and it's a two-year course, and it's about 7-8 hours a week commitment, so we're looking forward to that. We're also looking at planning a tour to Israel, and that's going to be November 30th to December 10th in 2022, so it's time for you just to start saving up. And but also let us know if you're interested so we can see. We're going to be joining another church in Missoula, Montana. They're going to be coming with us. And then again, just a reminder that Easter, please bring a friend. Please bring your neighbor. Please bring a family member. Just because it's a great opportunity and they're going to get the gospel. They're going to get the good news. And some people just don't know the great news and the good news that we have. Hallelujah. You're right there, Valerie. Checking out the back row there. Hey. I don't, because she normally sits in the front chair commenting, criticizing, disagreeing. Were you getting cold or something? Are you getting jolly hot? Oh, yeah. You've got those mental poor issues, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, not really. Not really. Throw my wife under the bus from the pulpit. Eh? Good Lord. Those online, welcome. It's nice to have you guys with us. Looking forward to see you in person. And be able to give you one of these social distance hugs, and we are still here. We haven't gone anywhere those online, so it'd be nice for you if you come on and bring your coffee that you are sitting in bed having right now while you're watching me. You can bring it here, and can you actually have the coffee here? So look forward to that. So our theme this year has been not what we had last year, being fearful and faithless. This year we're going to be fearless and faithful. So we're really wanting to arm you and speak into that. And like Bill Hybel always says, whatever the kind of deficiency is in the body, turn up the hydrant of the word on it and give it a good blast of God. And so it'll put wind beneath our wings and allow us to rise up above it. And so last week I really told you, you know who's in your corner. Yeah, you know, we sang those last words, 100 billion creatures were created just from his breath, and all we started breathing because of his breath. He's just an awesome God, and he's in our corner. And so that brings a faith, a confidence that expels stuff that just crawls all over us, and all the fear that crawls all over us. And so last week I spoke about who loves you. It's something that we have in the family. It started with how Harry, my brother-in-law, who's the pastor down in Cape Town, he would he'd say, "Roddy, who loves you?" I said, "Harry, God loves me, and Harry loves me." And so it became something we did in the family. And Natalie, who loves you? "Oh, Dad, you love me. I know you love me." And so when I'm saying this, I just want you to know that you're loved. He said, "Well, I've made no commitment towards God. He, that doesn't matter. He's so big, he'll love you. Even when you don't know him, he'll love you. He just wants to love you." And so last week I spoke about God seeks those he loves. And we spoke about Luke 15, how how they sought after the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. It's just God is looking and seeking you. And when he has you, it's not all over, because he still wants to shower his love on you and continually to pursue you. Just this week, as we obviously had these people passing and Carl passing and stuff, there's like this COVID thing just amplified itself, and everybody started, oh my gosh, it's right here. It's our first loss in a family to COVID. And so it just kind of got close to home. And so I saw this whole tsunami of fear start coming across people's mindsets. And I wanted to just speak into it today. Because if you know that God is in our corner and that he's with us and he never leaves us and he never forsakes us, it'll be the wind that helps us. And so in 1 John 4:8, he says, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. You understand his love and his hand and his grace is in our, with us and for us. It expels those fears that we have. And so the title of today's message, fearful or fearless, is the question. That's eyes tell it all, eh? Fearful or fearless is the question. And so we want to just, you got to find yourself. It's like I said, you got to locate yourself and say, where am I on the spectrum? How is fear operating in my life? Because it affects my walk. It affects my believing it, my behaving. It all gets affected by it. So 2 Timothy, and Paul writes to Timothy, his spiritual son, and 2 Timothy 1 and 7, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of sound mind. That's what God is. He hasn't given us that spirit of fear. He hasn't given us that spirit that would have us be timid and cowardice and be worried. He hasn't given us that spirit, but he has injected our spirits with his spirit, and it's of love, power, and a sound mind. And so we have a choice on what we're drawing from. We either can yield to that overwhelming fear, or we can rise up and say no and understand that we've been given an ability that allows us to calm and be well-balanced in mind and self-control. Because he loves us and he's empowered us to do this. He's not asking us to do something that he hasn't resourced us with. But as you'll see, the battle is here, and we got to kind of have tools in our toolkit to be able to do that. For we have not been given a spirit of fear, timidity, or cowardness. But yes, we understand. Don't be fearful. Yes, be concerned. Yes, be concerned. But don't be fearful. Being concerned is being careful. Being concerned is being careful. But it's not being fearful. You understand? There's a difference in your heart and your attitude. Listen, I'm gonna be cautious. I'm gonna be in my social distance area, and I'm going to make the necessary, but I'm not going to do it out of fear. I'm doing it out of a responsibility. Why do we create the social distance areas? Because some of the people have to go back to vulnerable people, and they don't want to have the potential of, and so they're being careful, they're being concerned. And so it's not being fearful, it's just being responsible. But we've got some people that are just hatched down, not saying boo to anybody, opening their garage. Everybody, the guys have to deliver everything there, put it into their trunk of their car, close the garage. They drive off a mile, and then somebody goes out and goes and gets their stuff that they've ordered from Walmart and stuff. That is fearful, man. You can't be like that, because it absolutely that's neutralizes your face. The fear paralyzes you, and you can't be effective. I'm not going to let the enemy stop the advance of the kingdom of God, where we can interact and still demonstrate and declare his love, because fear has come in. So there is a battleground and in our walk of faith, and it's called it's in the soul area. Our soul is the battleground. Our mind, our will, and our emotion. Because we are a three-part being. We are a spirit, because God says that he's a spirit and he made us in his likeness. So we have a spirit. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we are contained in an earth suit. We all have different looking earth suits. Some are a little older earth suits and little younger earth suits and little more painful earth suits, but we have earth suits. And at graduation, this earth suit stays here, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. This body stays here, but my spirit and my soul goes on to eternity. And I spoke multiple times this week, it either goes to a God-filled eternity or godless eternity, and our choices while we're walking in the earth suit Where are we gonna land up? But our soul is the big battleground the Bible talks about. It's like a teeter-totter. We don't call it that in South Africa. It's a seesaw. Not so, dear. Seesaw. The seesaw is, okay, one of those things. I wanted to kind of build, but I thought, no, the illustration is too short to have it all done like that. But the soul is the pivot point, the whole thing. And I want us to understand that teeter-totter, that pivot point. On the one soul, we got, on one side, we've got our spirit. Then we have our soul in the pivot point. And then we've got our carnal, fleshly body. And I'm going to do that because it does no good for us. And so Romans 8, 5 through 6, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds, their soul, on the things of the flesh. And those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, put their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. And to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the teeter-totter in the middle is the choice. And so that's why I'm saying that we have to understand, ponder on, focus on what is going to be life and peace. And that's what we've got to understand, and we've got to grab it with both hands. Because Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks, because it affects your heart, so is he. And it's either positive or negative. So you can sit there. And Philippians 4:8 says, he instructs us to meditate. That's the path of our soul. Think, ponder on whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report. That helps you. Because if you go in and you automatically grab the remote and you walk to that great depressive thing and you feed yourself the carnality and all the depression, all the pollution and all the poison, it kind of tends to get you to this side of the teeter-totter, and it's always two against one. The soul either chooses to be with the spirit, or it chooses to be with the carnality, and it's always two against one. Which one is winning in your life? Which one are you pivoting towards? And you've got to make that choice, because it's in here, is the battleground. So I'm going to just jump into one of the Old Testament heroes, King David, and the man who beat the bear, beat the lion, beat Goliath, beat multiple military enemies. And have a look that he also had this battle that he was contending with in it. And he fought fear, anxiety, discouragement, distress, and depression. You just have to read the Psalms to understand that he went through all these ups and downs. And I just want to take out of Psalm 42 some of the stuff that would be able to be news we can use to help us, because when you're out of this building and you away from everybody, you're by yourself, you're facing issues, you're facing thoughts, you're facing all the stuff, the barrage of stuff that comes out there. And here we find David writing in a place where he has been quarantined. Familiar? Quarantined to keep him safe. Why? Because Absalom, his son, has been chick, chick, chick at the city gates and had been talking bad about his dad and got everybody, the whole crowd, to come to his side. And he started getting a military group together and he said, let's overthrow my dad. He's really a mess of a king. And he started getting in their ear. And so he raised the coup right there. And so they needed to defend the king. And the king, David, wanted to go to battle. And they said, no, you are the target number one. And you're going to make our battle a real issue, because we're going to spend our lives defending you, because if they can cut the head off of the king, then they've got the whole deal. We're going to put you in quarantine and protect you. And so that's what happened. David was refused to be in the battle, and he was quarantined. And then this is where he writes the psalm. And he writes it in verse 1. It says, yeah, as a deer pants for the water, as a water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Because there he is. He is in the doldrums because he is now in quarantine, as we're very familiar with. And he knows the solution. He knows his condition. He knows the solution. His solution is, I need to get back to fellowship. I need to get around the believers. I need to be able to worship my God. And we experienced that in the shutdown last year, when 3 months we were closed down, no fellowship, no corporate time of worship. And it was a time when people really, the heat was on. People were just struggling and got out of whack with just, and it was relocating us and finding out, man, we need, and David knew the sustenance of his soul and his strength came from that corporate time together, that corporate worship together. And so the extended time of isolation and away from corporate times with God and others just affect your faith. That's why we always encourage you to hang around the faith believers. Get there on Sundays. Get together in the week. Get together because it's important. Because the enemy is seeking to sow stuff in your soul that gets you down, depressed, and really miserable and fearful. And so God is really wanting us to understand the tactics of the enemy. Because that fear will suck you into a hole of discouragement, despair, get you disorientated. And then where does deception come in? And suddenly you think, no, I don't need this. I don't need the body of Christ. I'm kind of okay. I'm all right. And I tell you what, when you find out, eventually you're down in the hole. When Val and I came here in 2004, we came across and we had this idea of how to plant the church and we get going and stuff. And 9 months, nothing happened. I tell you what, you start digging deep because you have this idea, man. A land of milk and honey, man. This stuff, we can start a church, no problem. We went to the friends that allowed us to come here and said, get your friends together. Let's start a Bible study. Let's get going. And said, we don't have any friends. I said, oh, Houston, we have a problem. Houston, we got a problem. And I tried everything. Purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church. I tried everything. Nothing. 9 months, boy. It's like a pregnancy. Word does nothing. No friends, no fellowship. We'd go to another church and go and fellowship. And as soon as they heard we came to plant a church, I got the right foot of fellowship. I was like booted out of there. They wouldn't want anybody. And I had pastors have me for lunch. And I thought, yeah, we got a breakthrough. We're connecting with somebody. He said, listen, I don't know what you come to do here, but that's not of God. We want you out of town. We want you to get out of here. And so it was a real, and so your confidence gets bashed. Your hope gets bashed. You begin to question, what the heck? I brought my whole family across here. I'm committed. I have nothing to go back to, man. I'm here. And you start, man, it is, you start without the fellowship and the believers. And I called Dave Cape, my spiritual dad. I said, hey, Dave, man. He said, and he quotes me Churchill's shortest speech. Never, never, never give up. Have a good day, Rod. Puts the phone down. Dang, man. Thanks. And I tell you what, but don't forget in the light. In the dark, what God shows you in the light, because it's going to get tough. You cannot just walk in and think, just start working at church. No, no, the devil doesn't want you to start nothing, boy. And he'll push you. And so there's a flood of fear that comes in. It spirals out of control. And so you got to understand, it disorientates us. And so it's always good to come back, get orientated and say, hey, and amazing, God speaks to us corporately sometimes that you just don't get in your quiet time when you're by yourself. It's so important that we get together. And it's not only when you're out there by yourself, but when you're even here, you will come out and suddenly a thought will come. I always say the bird can land on your head, just don't let it nest there. Okay? Because when you come in and suddenly you're in your good place and your happy place, and then suddenly a thought would come. And if you don't grab that thought and sort it out, it's going to take you and spiral you down out of control. And you don't want to do that. So I'm going to just give you three things to help you fight fear. Three things. The first thing to fight fear is stop listening to yourself. You understand? We talk to ourselves at 1,200 words a minute. I think the girls double that, but I think for us guys, at least 1,200 words a minute. And predominantly negative. Oh, why did you do that? Man, that's stupid. You hit yourself with a barrage of negative stuff. David, in Psalm 42, verse 3, it says, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continue to say, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I refuse to go with the, I used to go with the multitudes, and with them to the house of the Lord, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the pilgrim feasts. Why are you downcast, my soul? Why are you disquieted within you? David had this negative barrage of thoughts coming down here. And then the words hitting him that would just cause him to be discouraged, depressed, and it poisoned him. And he would have to just really back away. And then when you are in that place, then you start poisoning everybody around you. I mean, you're just a dose of bad news. And just because it just spills straight through you. We call them VDPs, very draining people. Some people you just say, look, man, you're looking good today, and you just move right on. You don't ever ask them how they are, because heck, you're going to come out there down and dolly depressed. So we call them VDPs, give them a wide berth, just encourage them, say, you're looking good, you're looking great. Praise the Lord, you just go for it, okay? So listen, if I'm in a rush and I say that because I'm in a rush, it's not because you're a VDP, okay? Set myself up here, huh? But I tell you what, the enemy will carry on and spin the wheel, and you get into that depressed place. He'll keep spinning it, man. And he will just get that gyro going and wind you up. And man, you just get yourself into it. And here it says, yeah, and while they continued to say, where is your God? In verse 10, he says, who's these people are saying that? It says, my enemies reproached me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? I can hear the voice. Here he's in quarantine and says, no, you're supposed to be the king. And where are you? And where is your God? How come you're not seated in there? And here you're sitting in this little place in quarantine. I can hear the enemy nyanya continually. And so it's getting him down. I want to just tell you, when Val and I walked into the embassy in Cape Town to get our R visa, our religious visa, because we had to start with that, went in there and we applied and made the application and everything else. And then we had to come back that afternoon at 4 o'clock for them to see if they approved it or not. And so we're all outside in sort of a foyer area. And he came out with his passport and he started calling out names. And he got to my passport and he says, where's that guy who thinks he can plant a church in America? I said, that's me. I wanted to tell you, those words haunted me in those first 9 months. When I was trying to see how Val and I could pull the church out the ground here, those words haunted me. Where's that guy who thinks? Man, those words just kept on bashing me. It's like the enemy just found that real knife and it challenged me. And so the enemy did the same thing, man. He jumped in 2020 with the pandemic and with the politics. And man, he used the demonic press. I call them the demonic press. And they spun the panic. They spun the poison. They spun the pollution. And they just kept spinning it. And man, we were just drinking it. And I tell you what, it sucked us into a place where we shouldn't have been as the kingdom of God. We shouldn't have been as people. We shouldn't be like that in the Western world. You've got to think. Don't let them determine what we think. Like I said, man, you come in and day after day, grab the remote and you put that poison on and you put that pollution on and you put that pandemic on. Come on, we got to rise up. And then your memory goes back and says, 9/11, what happened there? Oh, and this pandemic of HIV and this. And he just spins it. The enemy just keeps spinning it and we keep drinking it. And God says, come on, stop that self-talk. Stop the self-talk. In 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm a living testimony of that scripture being fulfilled. Because if I didn't have that scripture, I would not be here today. Because I went through a stage at 18 years old, getting chucked into the war of Rhodesia, and went through all that trauma, came out of that to our nation becoming a socialist nation. From a first world nation, we became a third world nation. And here I am married with children, and everything is crashing around us. And I got to a place where I was so discouraged, so despaired, that I eventually went to the career analysis. And then we went through a horrific time with the leadership in the church that just absolutely, brutally, horrifically, absolutely hurt us. And I am in this place where I can't even get my hope and my encouragement for my fellowship because I've been kicked out. And we're only in a country that has 90,000 of our, maybe 9 million people, but our group was small, man. And here I am in this, and I went to, I said, I think I'm in the wrong career. So I went to the career analysis and the lady and did the whole 3-hour answering a whole lot of questions. And then she said, come back a week later. A week later, I came back with Valerie. Now, Valerie said, I said, come and listen and see what's messed up with me. What's wrong with me? Because I'm telling you, I'm in the wrong career or something. Because it's not working for me and I'm just miserable. And the lady said to me, she says, I don't know Firstly, I don't know how you are where you are. You should be hospitalized with a nervous breakdown. That's where you should be medically. I should admit you right now. That's where you are. How on earth are you keep on going? I said, well, I'm a Christian. And I have one scripture that I have to ponder on every day. And it's the Christian, and it's the scripture here. It says, bring every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. I could not wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and think past 8 o'clock. Because if I did that, I would go into panic. If anybody's gone into panic and anxiety, and you spin, your head starts spinning because of anxiety, that's what happened to me. And I could not think. And I would grab my mind and I said, okay, we're only going to think about go to the cereal bar and get my cereal. And when I got to my cereal bar and ate my cereal, I would then say, okay, what are we going to wear? I would not let my mind go any further than 2 hours out. Because I'd grab every thought and say, no, my God's going to give me the strength for the next 2 hours. And this, I walked out for 2 years. Eventually, I could think to midday. And eventually, I could think a little further. But I tell you what, that scripture is because I got soul control. Because I would spin out of control. Because my head would just want to run there. And I understand that some people need medical help and all that stuff. I didn't have that. I didn't have the all the stuff that demilitarizes you when you come out of the military and all the death and all the trauma that you've seen. We didn't have that. I didn't have that. So I've got these cast. I've got these stainless steel. Now I've got titanium boxes inside me where I have boxed stuff, emotions, things that are and because I don't. What do you do with them? They come bubbling out. Do not slam a door around me, please. Do not slam a door. I had a lady that used to stay with us for 3 years, and she used to slam a door. I said, lady, you're going to be with Jesus one of these days sooner than you expect because you are slamming the door. It just kind of triggers something inside you. Anyway, but I'm good, and I'm happy, and I've survived 61 years, and here we are. But I want to just say, stop talking to yourself. Stop listening to that stuff. Stop listening to your stuff. And obviously, my point two is up there. Start speaking to yourself. You say, well, that's contradictory. Yeah, you got to speak the right stuff to yourself. I had to keep speaking the right stuff to myself to get myself out the hole. And David does this in Psalm 42, verse 5. He says, why are you cast down, my soul? You can understand now. Here he's, the spirit man is talking to his soul. He says, what's wrong with you? Put your trust in God. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you disquieted within you? Hope in God. For you have yet praised him, and for his help of his for the help of his countenance. Cast down, pressed down, pushed down. It's like being pushed underwater and you're just fighting like a cork to stay up. And so you got to press up because you got to stop allowing yourself to, but then start speaking to yourself. Start announcing things. It's amazing. You wake up in the morning nowadays, and you got a sore throat and you got a bit of a cough, and the first thing that comes to mind, COVID. COVID. What happened to the cold and the flu? I mean, that's gone off the planet, okay? I mean, that's kind of left. And you have these Vietnam flashbacks. And so, why don't you just get God's promises? He says, no. I'm healed. The righteousness of God in Christ is in me. I have a position. I have a promise. I have a hope. I have a purpose. And announce it and speak it. I tell you what, you got to speak to yourself. And so, so as we look at these things, and even when we understand that, man, we look at our past, how things have been overcome. I mean, we used to, how many of you have to take your kids and get all vaccinations and stuff? Why were there vaccinations? Because there was a pandemic before. There was a smallpox pandemic. It started around Jesus' time. And they say that hundreds and thousands of people died from smallpox. And between 1400 and 1800, over 100 years, 400,000 people a year died. So that's 4 million people died from smallpox. And then WHO, the World Health Organization, announced in 1980 that the vaccine had totally eradicated that virus. Why can't it happen now? Well, it is happening. And so we got to understand that there is the scientists that God is giving wisdom to. That there is help, there is a way out, a way through, and we can't just find ourselves and cast or restraint and allow fear. Just come walking inside it. Talk to yourself. If you don't know what to talk to yourself, call Rod and say, Rod, what do I say? What do I say to myself? Because I'm at the end of myself because this is what I'm thinking. And this is what I'm speaking to myself with. I'll give you some things. I've told men, listen, if you're having a hard time at work, don't go home and go and gush it out on your poor family. Come to my doorstep and let us talk about it. What? I used to go for a run. That was one of my saving graces as well. It kind of just gets it out of the system, eh? But start speaking the Bible to yourself, please. That's why we've got this daily reading. If you're not into the daily reading, man, we're around 70, what, day 75 or something. Just come day 75, jump in with us and start reading each day. It's on the app. Just join us and let the Word of God come and build up so your teeter-totter can go God's way, okay? And then it'll be a whole lot. Last point, and we can shut down and have some coffee and fellowship. Hallelujah. Fight. How to fight fear is to get with God. Get with God. And Paul, David was just pressing, man, if I could just get back to fellowship, if I could just get my mind back into with God. And he says here, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. It starts there in verse 5, his countenance. Verse 11 says, the help of my countenance. And in 43, it goes again and talks verbatimly about what was Paul was saying in 42. And he says, the help of my countenance. I tell you what, when you hang around God, it affects your countenance. It says it helps you transform your appearance, your countenance, just being with God. So the good company corrects bad countenance. You know, obviously you've heard the scripture, bad company corrupts. Well, I tell you what, good company corrects bad countenance. You hang around it. Valerie, just she has anything to do with sorting out things in the home. If we have bad attitude, you got 2 minutes. You got to go to the mirror, and you better look at yourself. Have all the whinging and all the complaining, and 2 minutes, you better get it up, wake up. It's because your attitude determines your altitude. You either have a positive, and an attitude is a choice. So we need to see our countenance. And when I look at God, he looks at me, and his face changes my face. When I look at him, I behold him. Man, you see how big we sang of God in that last song? Hey, God is big. And when we look at God, he looks at me. When we press towards God, he presses towards me. When I draw near to God, he draws near to me. And so your countenance can be seen. I mean, please, don't walk around like you've been sucking lemon juice. Come on. Just understand that we're on the winning side, man. You know who's in our corner, the one who loves us, who thinks that we're the best, that we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. We're able to do. We can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. He knows. He has empowered us. And so our countenance needs to change. So I understand that you never can tell everybody's countenance because they've got a mask on now. But I can tell you, I'm getting very good at looking at your eyes, the windows to the soul. I can see, boy, sad eyes or happy eyes. I can see it. So don't try and hide behind your mask, okay? Because we're going to really work on this thing because, hey, you've got to be like a cork. Keep just bouncing back up. Keep bouncing back up. And so stop listening to yourself. Stop speaking to yourself. Get with God and keep in the right company. It sure helps a whole lot. And fearful or fearless is the question. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because who loves you? That's why. That's why. Because who loves you? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Hallelujah.